This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. In this حلقة today, inshallah, we'll focus on the story of Yaqub عليه السلام and his son Yusuf, his story with his son Yusuf and his brothers. So we focus on the ordeal of Yaqub alayhi salam, the challenge or the hardship that he faced by losing his son Yusuf alayhi salam for a long period of time. Some ulama said 18 years, some of them said 40 years. We don't have an exact number, but definitely it was a long period of time, because when he lost him, Yusuf alayhi salam was a young child. And then when he met him again in Egypt, he was an adult. He was the chief minister to the king. So he was someone who was an adult. So it must have been a long period of time. And Yaqub alayhi salam was married to four wives. Two of them were Leah, and the other one was Rahil. In English is Rachel. They were his cousins from his uncle, maternal uncle, who used to live in Iraq, in the land of Harran. And his uncle, his name was Laban. So he got married with two sisters. At that time, it was permissible for them, just to let you know, to get married with two sisters at the same time. But there are some scholars who insisted that Yaqub alayhi salam did not get married with the two sisters at the same time, but married with Rachel after Leah passed away. Wallahu ta'ala alam. So he got 12 children. Yaqub alayhi salam was blessed with 12 children. Six of them from the first cousin, his first cousin Leah, and then four from the other two ladies, and two were from Rachel, or Rahil in Arabic, and the two are Yusuf alayhi salam and his brother Binyamin. And in English, they call him Benjamin. What happened to Yusuf alayhi salam? You know, their story is found well documented in the Old Testament, but it's different. There are big differences between the story of Yaqub alayhi salam in the Bible and between his story in the Quran. So in Islam and Christianity, we recognize both faiths, or followers of both religions, recognize that Yaqub alayhi salam is the one who was named Israel. He was named Israel in the Quran, and Israel in the Quran and in the Bible. And they both, Christians and Muslims, believe that he had 12 children, and he is the father of the 12 tribes. So every child got married, and he had, you know, a big, mashallah, his descendants were a big tribe. So that's why we have the 12 tribes of Israel, of Banu Israel. Banu Israel, they are called in the Quran Banu Israel. What happened to Yaqub alayhi salam, to Yusuf actually, and his brothers, is something that's very common. And it's a problem, it's a common problem that could be found in many families. And it is called sibling rivalry, which is jealousy, competition, and could be sometimes fighting between brothers and sisters. And before talking about the story of Yaqub, let's forget about the story of Yaqub for a moment now. Let's talk about discuss this matter, yani, by itself. In this competition between brothers and sisters, and what we need to do about it as Muslims. So this problem, you know, this matter of sibling rivalry, they said it could take place, which usually takes place, or it happens in the form of, you know, competitive relationship or animosity at other times between brothers and sisters. And most of the time they said competition between young children is about, or is a result of, a desire for more or for greater attention from parents. And this is normal. All kids do it. You know, I mean, as parents, if you play with the youngest, مثلا, who is 3 years or 2 years, or she is 1 year old, the one who is close in age most likely will come to you, will feel some jealousy and will try to get your attention. It's normal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them this way or created us this way. Because we were children too. So we're talking here about sibling relationship. And it could be very complicated because they said it is usually influenced by many factors such as parental treatment. So as parents we have to pay attention to the way we treat our children. It could be influenced by birth order. You know, if there is a big gap between children, usually there will be no strong competition between them. But if they are close in age, so that the story could be different. And personality, the personality of the person. Some of the children are very nice, they're very kind, but some of them have different temper. And experiences outside the family, when they mix with other children, mix with other families. Some researchers are claiming in child psychology that the aggressive response to a new baby in the family is so typical that it is safe to say that it is a common feature of family life. It is something that has to be accepted. And there are some parents who become very surprised when they get the second child, and then they feel that the first child is not accepting his brother, or is not accepting his sister. This is normal. This is found in every family. And parents actually have to prepare themselves for this kind of behavior. And they just have to be alert to the matters of favoritism, and they have to take appropriate steps to deal with the problem from early stage. They don't allow it to become bigger. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it all when he said, "Ittaqu Allah wa'dilu bayna abna'ikum aw i'dilu bayna awladikum." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is inviting the parents to fear Allah, because this is a ma'ziyah when we distinguish between our children. We don't treat them with justice. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made very clear, this is a very general principle that every father, every mother has to keep in mind. اتقوا الله وعدلوا بين أولادكم. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and treat all your children with justice. Because it's very painful. It's very painful when parents treat, favor some of the children over other children. Is not something easy. And when we'll talk about Ya'qub alayhi salam, we will see if Ya'qub alayhi salam was doing the right thing or it was a mistake. Now, I don't believe it was a mistake, but I'll explain to you why. But we'll talk about it inshallah. So one of the common mistakes that are, taking place in family life is this constant, this is another problem, or this is one of the forms of favoritism. This constant comparison within family life. Comparison between children. And it might take different forms. And this comparison might fuel actually this unhealthy competition between the children. So the topic of comparison between children is one of the favorite topics in many families. So many families, many parents, many adults, from day one they talk about who got the first tooth, who spoke at an early age, who walked first. They compare between children. This is normal, and this is okay, because children will not pay attention to this. They are children, they're still children. You're not going to talk to your child, to your son at the age of 20 or 30, "Hey, my son, you remember you walked before your brother who is 19 or 20? We don't talk about that. Actually, this topic will have a different flavor, and it becomes worse. So what I'm talking about here, who got the first tooth, or who walked first at an early age, or who did this and this, who had a friendly face, or these things are not really important. And when they are accepted, family talk about it, they compare between children. And it is fine if it doesn't turn into, or it doesn't continue actually, to school, then college, then the workplace. It is fine and accepted if it doesn't turn into who owns the bigger house, who makes more money, who drives the best car. And here it becomes very difficult. It becomes painful. So Sometimes, as I told you before, this is something that I face in this community. When someone decides to buy a house through the mortgage and the other one refrains and said this is haram. And especially if this brother has cousins and brothers who all of them decided to buy a house. And then they meet and talk. They talk about their achievement. Oh, achieving the American dream. I told you about it. The American dream, owning a house in North America. And the other brother said it's haram. I want Jannah. I want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is mortgage. If I own a house, I want to own it in a halal way. But it's not easy. So they come, brothers, and complain. I mean, what can I do in this situation? I sit with my brothers and my cousin, and they all keep talking. What is the solution, ya akhwan? We keep talking about this subject. How much money they're making, and their houses, and their cars, and everything. What is the solution, ya akhwan? All this pain and this suffering will end if families and communities shift their focus to something else. They focus on something else, on the matters of al-akhirah. Who memorized more Quran? Who's regular with his five daily prayers in the masjid? Who's following the sunnah of Rasulullah? Who went and made his umrah and hajj first? This is a halal competition. This is a beautiful competition. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَفِي ذَٰلِكَ فَلْ يَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. In this let the competitors compete. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to compete in this area. Who comes to and pray in the first line, first row in the masjid? Who comes early to the Jumu'ah prayer? Who doesn't miss his salawat in the masajid? Who gives more sadaqat and zakat? This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to talk about. And then everyone will be fine. I mean, my brother is going to the masjid all the time. I should compete with him without any grudges, without any ill feelings, right? But if he starts bragging, keeps on bragging and talking about his achievements and his house and the money that he's making, then you feel pain. You feel that he's like trying to put you down. You are not making enough money. You don't own your house. So this comparison, ya ikhwan, could be very painful. So anyway, as a conclusion, ya ikhwan, most parents who have more than one child will experience this, they will face this problem, the problem of sibling rivalry or competition between their children. They just have to be alert about favoritism, favoring some children over other children's. As I said, they should remember the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ, اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَاعْدِلُوا بَيْنَ أَوْلَادِكُمْ. And they should be alert about comparing between their children, and also they need to treat their children with justice. And inshallah, bi-idhnillah, life will be good, bi-idhnillah ta'ala. Now let's go back to the story of Ya'qub alayhi salam. The problem started when Yusuf's brothers felt that their father Ya'qub alayhi salam is giving more attention or giving more love to their brother Yusuf and his brother Benjamin or Binyamin alayhim as-salam. Binyamin is not a prophet, but Yusuf alayhi salam was a prophet. Joseph was a prophet alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, they said, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala related in Surah Yusuf, إِقَالُوا لَيُوسُفُ وَأَخُوهُ أَحَبُّ إِلَىٰ أَبِينَا مِنَّا وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَةٌ إِنَّ أَبَانَا لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. So they said, when they said Yusuf and his brother are more beloved to our father than we, while we are a clan, we are a group of people, and we are powerful, and we do the work for him, we take care of the cattle and the sheep, and we do the farming, we do all the farming activities, we're supporting the family, and we are a group of people. But he's favoring Yusuf and his brother Benjamin. So they accused their father of showing more attention to the two brothers, Yusuf and Benjamin. Was it the mistake of Ya'qub? This is something that I want you to understand today. And I believe that it was not a mistake of Ya'qub alayhi salam. Ya'qub alayhi salam was showing more attention to the youngest of his children. So he was not favoring Yusuf because he's Yusuf. Even though at a certain point he felt that Yusuf might have a brilliant future. And Yusuf alayhi salam could be the next prophet in the family because of the dream that Yusuf alayhi salam saw. But he didn't favor Yusuf because he's Yusuf or he's Benjamin. No, he was favoring them, or giving them, I would use this word, giving them more attention because they were the youngest in the family among his children. And this is something normal. Most of the parents feel that they are more attached to the youngest, younger children, to their younger children. And they feel like, مثلا, the other children, the older children are more independent and they should be treated differently. You know, if you come and try to play with your child who is 12 and 13 the way you play with your child who is 2 and 3, the other one will feel like you're being annoying, actually. Yeah, you're not doing justice. I don't want this justice. I mean, Dad, I'm 12, 13, right? So you don't treat them the same way. But you enjoy the little ones. You enjoy them. It's normal to give them more attention, to show them love and attention because they need it. They depend on you. But the other ones are independent. So I believe, wallahu a'lam, this is what Ya'qub alayhi salam was doing. He was not favoring some of his children over the others. In the classical sources of knowledge, some classical sources of knowledge, I don't have now the sources in mind, we find a beautiful piece of wisdom. They said a wise man was asked, Hakim, su'ila hakimun, anna hakiman su'il, qal ayyu man ahabbu abnaika ilayk, man ahabbu abnaika ilayk. Politics in the family here. So he said, this hakim, he said, as-saghiru hatta yakbur, wal-maridu hatta yushfa, wal-ghaibu hatta ya'ud. As-saghiru hatta yakbur, wal-maridu hatta yushfa, wal-ghaibu hatta ya'ud. So this wise man was once asked, you know, who among your children are more beloved to you? So he said, what was his answer? He didn't say Ahmed or Muhammad or Ali or Abdul Qadir, no. He said, the youngest ones until they grow up. The youngest ones until they grow up. The sick until they get well. And the traveling ones until they come back. So I give more attention to these people. He's sick, I give him more attention because he's sick. He needs some help. He needs my, or she needs my attention at that time. So it's not about Ahmed or Ali or Muhammad, no. So I believe that Ya'qub alayhi salam was giving more attention to Yusuf alayhi salam and his brother Benjamin because of their young age. This is something that we need to clarify tonight bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. There is another possibility that is found in the Old Testament, and it was adopted by many scholars of tafsir. They said that their mother, Rachel, Yusuf's and Yusuf's mother, Rachel, or Rahil in Arabic, passed away while delivering, when she was giving birth to the second child, Benjamin. And this is, as I said, found in the Old Testament. It was adopted by many scholars of tafsir. Allahu ta'ala a'lam. There are some other scholars who did not accept this. They said, we don't have proof from the Quran and the Sunnah that she passed away before when she was giving birth to Benjamin. So now, their mother, if she passed away when she was giving birth to Benjamin, that means their mother was not there. So they had only a father, and they were young. So this is another reason for him to give them more attention and more love, because their mother was not present. There are, as I said, other scholars who use the other proof. وَرَفَعَ أَبَوَيْهِ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ at the end of the surah, the ayah 100 in Surah Yusuf, that he raised his parents upon the throne. So there is some discussion about parents. Who are his parents here? Those who believe that she passed away when she was giving birth to Benjamin, they said no, actually the one that was with Ya'qub alayhi salam was not his real mother. She was his aunt, Leah. But again, there is a story in the Old Testament that Leah might have passed away long time ago. So they said one of the other two wives, because one of the two, because he had four wives, she is the one who took care of Yusuf alayhi salam and his brother Benjamin. Allahu ta'ala a'lam. And I feel inclined more inclined towards the other opinion that says that his mother, their mother, did not pass away and she was alive at that time. The Quran does not tell us anything about her reaction, about her huzn, sadness. after losing Yusuf alayhi salam. And so people ask this question. There is nothing in the Quran in the story of Yusuf about his mother. The whole story is about his mother, his father, describing his anguish, describing his suffering after he lost his son Yusuf. And the answer came from the ulama. They said this is actually the style of the Quran. The Quran does not give us details about every single thing in the family. If he's talking about the story, he doesn't give us every single thing, every single detail. The Quran tells us about the incidents that are important to the believers, which contain some wisdom, some lessons. Because this is a big story. I mean, 20 years. He lost his child for 20 years. It's a long period of time. But the Quran told us about some pieces of conversation between his children, and also his reaction and the way he was patient and his du'as. This is what is more important for Muslims to learn. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Anyway, in any case, Shaitan was able to arouse jealousy, you know, in the hearts of their brothers, and they plotted against Yusuf alayhi salam. This is what happened. And by the way, the rest, as I said, the rest of the brothers, the 11 brothers, were not prophets. Because the ulama, they said, what they did, the Yusuf could not be, it's not something accepted, and they cannot be prophets or messengers. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I revealed to al-asbat in the Quran, al-asbat are mentioned in the Quran, al-asbat are al-ahfad, grandchildren. They mean that in their offspring or in their descendants, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has selected and chosen some prophets and messengers. It doesn't mean those 11 brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam were prophets. They were not prophets and messengers. The only prophet among the children of Ya'qub is Yusuf alayhi salam. And then his grandchildren. So their children, their descendants, some of them were prophets and messengers. Among them is Musa alayhi salam, was a great, you know, a prophet alayhi salam, and some other, Sulaiman and Dawood and Zakariya and Yahya and some other prophets and messengers, and Isa alayhi salam. So anyway, in this story, they said, they made a very strong statement, اُقْتُلُوا يُوسُفَ أَوْ اِطْرَحُوهُ أَرْضًا يَخْلُوا لَكُمْ وَجْهُ أَبِيكُمْ وَتَكُونُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِ قَوْمًا صَالِحِينَ. So in this ayah here, they said, kill Yusuf. That is, one of them suggested that they should kill Yusuf. That this is a very, subhanAllah, very, it's an evil thought. Or cast him out to some other land, and he sent him away. That the favor, they said, so the favor of your father may be given to you alone. So the attention and the love of your father, you receive his attention and his love. Yusuf is not there, is not present. So you'll have a good relationship with your father. That was their thinking. And he said, after that, you will be righteous people. So they were thinking about tawbah and becoming good after they do this evil. So yeah, it shows that they were mu'mineen, they're believers. They were thinking about tawbah. That means they had some iman in their hearts. And this is the struggle that we have. The battlefield is between evil and between khair, between goodness, is always there. This is the story actually of humanity. And the battlefield of this struggle and this war between evil and khair, goodness, is our hearts. So that's why we need to take care of our hearts. If our hearts are pure and good, then everything will be easy, inshallah. But they said one of them, one of the children, some of them suggested that he was Judah. He was the eldest, the most intelligent. He suggested that they should throw Yusuf alayhi salam in a well, and he might be picked up by a caravan, passing caravan, and he will disappear from the sight of their father, and the problem will be solved. So this man, he had some, you know, affection towards his, showed some affection towards his brother. So don't kill him, just throw him in the well. And this is a very intelligent suggestion, because if they left him in an open field, you know, their father was worried about the wolf coming to, and eating Yusuf alayhi salam. That means that was a concern for them. So the area, they had wolves there, they had some animals there in that area, and they were worried about the safety of their young ones in that area. So if they left him in an open field at night time, the wolf might have come and eaten him up, right? But this man, he said, no, throw him in the well, so the wolf cannot reach him, he will be alive, and a caravan might come and take him, wallahu ta'ala alam. And they said, we will repent after that, after this crime, and we'll become good people. So they went to this their father, they begged him to allow Yusuf to come with them and play with them and enjoy himself, and they promised that they will take care of him. Of course, you know, their father, Yaqub alayhi salam, he showed some hesitation, and he was worried, and he showed his concern. You know, he was concerned over the safety of his child, feeling that a wolf. This is what he said. Maybe he was worried about the behavior of his own children. But he said, this is what he said, giving the benefit of doubt to his own children, fearing that a wolf might come and attack his own son, or his brothers are careless of him, or they are not paying attention to him. But at the end, Yaqub alayhi salam decided to allow Yusuf to go out with his brothers the next day. So the next day they took Yusuf with them. They went to the well as planned. And some authors, they suggested that they pretended to be playing. They didn't throw Yusuf in the well. They pretended to be playing with him. So they put him, placed him in a bucket or something, pretending that they were playing with him, and they sent him down to the well. And of course, it seems that this well was not full of water, otherwise he would have suffocated in water. It was not full of water. Wallahu ta'ala alam. And they removed his shirt before sending him down to the well. They removed his shirt. If he was young, he was innocent, he didn't pay attention to their plot. So maybe he removed his shirt, yani willingly. Allahu ta'ala alam. What happened is, they killed a sheep and they soaked his shirt with blood. So to produce some false evidence. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَجَاءُوا عَلَىٰ قَمِيسِهِ بِدَمٍ كَذِبٍ وَجَاءُوا عَلَىٰ قَمِيسِهِ فِي سُورَةِ يُوسِفْ وَجَاءُوا عَلَىٰ قَمِيسِهِ بِدَمٍ كَذِبٍ. And they brought his shirt stained with false blood. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called him. So false blood means it's not the blood of Yusuf. It's the blood of the sheep. And Ya'qub alayhi salam, who was a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was intelligent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't choose people who are, all prophets and messengers were extremely intelligent, knowledgeable, wise. So he did not believe their tears. And he looked, actually he held the shirt and he remarked and he said, what a merciful wolf. What a merciful wolf. He ate up my beloved son without tearing his shirt. Without tearing his shirt. So it's not a good evidence. And they were surprised, but they kept swearing and telling their fathers and confirming to him that this is what happened. But of course he did not believe them. But he could not get any more information from them about what happened to Yusuf. So Yaqub alayhi salam immediately realized that this is a musiba, this is a calamity, this is a trial, he's being tested, and his trial that is befalling his family. And it is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he realized, or he remembered, that the first ibadah, what is the ibadah? The first ibadah that we should show, we should do exercise at the time of calamities is to show sabr and patience. So he said, he made a beautiful statement. He said, قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ مُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. He said, nay, but your own selves have made up a story. So for me, beautiful patience, we'll talk about the meaning of beautiful patience, is most fitting. And it is Allah alone whose help can be sought against that lie which you assert. And it is Allah alone. It is Allah. He didn't think about them. Maybe I'll go and talk to their mothers. You convince them. You put some pressure against them. And they will be, I'll be able to get the truth. They will be at the end. They will tell me the truth. He felt that this is a musiba. This is a trial. I don't know what happened later on. As I said, it is a long period of time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about some incident and showing us the behavior of Yaqub alayhi salam as a great prophet, as a great believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is placing his trust, fully placing his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is a great lesson here for all of us in his iman and his faith, and also his firm trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He immediately remembered that he should be patient, and he should place his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against the plotting of his own sons. And this is, as I said, a wonderful lesson. Now the timing of this sabr is very important. the timing of his statement. And I want you to pay attention here, because we will discover the reality by looking at the timing of his statement. After they said what they said, he immediately made this statement about being patient and having beautiful patience in face of this calamity. Now, when we know about the timing is very important here. And it is part actually of sabr in Islam. Because at the end, eventually everyone will be patient. وَإِذَيْكَ الرَّسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَقُولُ إِنَّمَا الصَّبْرُ عِنْدَ Who knows the famous hadith? عِنْدَ الصَّدْمَةِ الْأُولَى إِنَّمَا الصَّبْرُ عِنْدَ الصَّدْمَةِ الْأُولَى He said, patience is only at the first strike of the grief. When you receive the news, are you going to cry and scream and panic? Or you show patience? So that is the real patience that we are talking about. So Rasulullah ﷺ made this statement. This is hadith that is found in Bukhari and Muslim. He was passing by the cemetery. There was a woman who lost her child, and she was crying and making some sounds. You know, she was not showing patience. So Rasulullah ﷺ said to her, she was not looking at him, she didn't recognize him, and she didn't even recognize her voice because she was suffering, she was crying, she lost her son. So Rasulullah ﷺ said, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ وَاسْبِرِي يَا هَذِهِ اتَّقِ اللَّهَ وَاسْبِرِي يعني, O lady, fear Allah and have some patience. So, and then he left. But what did she say? What was her reaction? He said, إِلَيْكَ عَنِّي فَإِنَّكَ لَمْ تُصَبْ بِمُصِيبَتِي إِلَيْكَ عَنِّي فَإِنَّكَ لَمْ تُصَبْ بِمُصِيبَتِي She said, away from me. My calamity has not befallen you. And you are not aware of it. يعني you don't know what I am going through. Basically, this is what they say in this country. You don't know how I feel about it. You don't know what I am going through. You don't understand. You know, expecting people to show some support and everything, which is fine sometimes, but sometimes we exaggerate and we cross the limits. And I'll tell you about complaining to people, complaining to Allah. There is a difference between complaining to Allah and complaining about the qadr of Allah to other people. So here comes the difference between, you know, different types of shakwa and their relationship with beautiful patience. So here, after Rasulullah ﷺ left, they told her that it was a messenger of Allah. So she felt sorry for that, for her reaction. And she went to his house looking for him to apologize. So she went to him, she knocked the door and she met Rasulullah ﷺ. She said, I'm sorry, I didn't recognize you. I didn't know that you were the messenger of Allah. So Rasulullah ﷺ, what was his answer? إِنَّمَا الصَّبْرُ عِنْدَ الصَّدْمَةِ الْأُولَى He said, patience is only at the first strike of grief. يعني, now it's eventually, as I said, and this is what ulama said, this is the real meaning, يعني the real patience that is beneficial. And the one that should be rewarded on the Day of Judgment and should be blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that takes place right away after the person receives the news about his calamity or her calamity. If you lose a family member or you lose your job or you lose a business or money. So patience is your reaction, your calmness, your thinking, actually having good thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His plans for you, at that moment, right immediately after you receive the news, immediately after you know the calamity. Otherwise, you know, showing patience at a later stage, it's not something that is excellent, it's not something that is beneficial, because eventually, as I said, whether we like it or you don't like it, we will show some patience and we will accept the new fact and we will live with it, we will cope with it. And this is our human nature. So the difference between those who are patient and those who are actually not patient is timing. Timing is very important here. And this is what Ya'qub alayhi salam did, you know, after he received this news. This is what he said. He said, "Sabr al-jameel." Now what is a sabr al-jameel? What is beautiful patience, Ikhwan? The ulama said in Arabic language, sabr means is to detain, to refrain, or stop. This is the literal meaning of the word sabr. And in the spiritual sense, they said patience means to stop ourselves from despairing or panicking, despairing in the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despairing about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or panicking, or stop our tongues, and also stop our tongues from complaining about the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are people who strike their faces when they hear the news at the first time, strike their faces or they tear their clothes. You know, and this is a ma'asiyah. Actually, it's a sin. And this is something very common in many communities. It is a sin. The statement you are making, or she's making, is that I'm not pleased with the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not pleased with the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is not the behavior of a true believer. So what is the beautiful patience? As-sabrul jameel. Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah defined it. This is the same opinion of Madhi ulama. They said as-sabrul jameel, as-sabru bila shakwa. So there is nothing extra. It's sabr bila shakwa. He said it is a patience without any complaint. Without any complaining. So the ulama, they said, you know, the pain is there, the suffering is there, because there are some people, there are some ulama, who, when discussing sabr, they said, actually, the reality of sabr in Islam is being able, not to distinguish between times of ease and times of difficulty. And you should be content all the time, you should be happy all the time. Ibn al-Qayyim, rahmatullah alayhi, refuted this notion of sabr. He said, this is impossible, this is difficult. We're human beings, this is against our nature. And you see, you study the story of Ya'qub alayhi salam, he was showing pain. He was suffering. He was sad. Because he lost his beloved son. But he himself, he said, I am going to exercise beautiful patience. Beautiful patience is most fitting for me. So is there a contradiction here between him, you know, showing his anguish, but not complaining? He was not complaining to people. That's the difference here. So the ulama, they said there are two types of shakwa. Shakwa is complaining. Shakwa in Arabic is to complain. So they said the first type of complaint is to complain to Allah. And this does not contradict sabr. Complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And himself, Ya'qub alayhi salam, he said, إِنَّمَا أَشْكُوا بَثِي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. After they criticized him, his own children criticized him for remembering Yusuf all the time. He was talking about Yusuf all the time. And showing his grief about the loss of Yusuf alayhi salam. So they complained and said, what do you keep talking about Yusuf? You're going to kill yourself. So what is his response to Ya'qub alayhi salam? He said, I'm not complaining to you. It has nothing to do with you. Even though he knows that they were the ones who plotted against their own brother. He said, I'm not complaining to you. إِنَّمَا أَشْكُوا بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. And that's it. He said, I only complain about my suffering and anguish to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this does not contradict sabr. So you go back to Allah and you start making dua. Even if you are crying, that's okay. You are a human being. You are supposed to show these emotions. It's part of our nature. Crying is not against sabr. Crying or if your tears are coming down. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was crying when he lost his son Ibrahim alayhi salam. But he said, وَلَا نَقُولُ إِلَّا مَا يُرْضِي رَبَّنَا. We don't say except what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't say anything that goes against our aqidah, or that might affect our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or that might show that we are complaining about the qadr of Allah. He lost his child, Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he was at the age of 2 or 3. Ibrahim, his son from Mary al-Qibtiyya. Now the second type, the ulama, they said the second type of complaint or shakwa is to complain to people, either directly through words or indirectly through the way we look or behave. So we don't say anything, but the way we behave, we're upset, we're not in a good mood, we don't want to talk to anyone, and we expect people to understand, to show their support, and to be patient with us, because we are facing suffering, we are facing big calamity, so everyone in our surroundings has to understand. And if people don't meet our expectations, what will happen? we feel that they are not genuine, or they are not doing their duties of showing, you know, they are our friends or their family members, so they should, you know, feel the same pain. So you have big expectations from people. And this is against sabr, the beautiful concept of sabr in Islam. So when you face a problem as a Muslim, you always think about the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't try to show your suffering to people expecting them to sympathize with you, expecting them to show their support, expecting them, and if they don't do that, then you become upset, and you might carry some hatred or some grudges towards them. This is not Islamic, and this is not accepted, and this behavior contradicts patience, which is an excellent virtue in Islam. Patience, ikhwan, was mentioned around 93 times in the Quran. And some ulama, they said religion is based on two main concepts. The first concept is patience, and the second one is shukr, gratefulness. Because they said life is either good or bad. There is no third option. It's either good or bad. When you're having good time, you're supposed to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your tongue, with your a'mal, with your actions, with your statement, talking to people about the ni'am of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's okay. فَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. So this is how we show gratefulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The best way to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At-ta'a wa taqwa. This is how you show your gratefulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being an obedient servant. The other time, when you're having some difficulties, say facing some hardship, then what is your ibadah? Is sabr. So basically life is between sabr, patience, and gratefulness. The second wonderful lesson in this story, ikhwan, is that Ya'qub alayhi salam was trying his best to give benefit of doubt to his children. And Yusuf alayhi salam did the same thing. Yusuf alayhi salam tried to give the benefit of doubt to his own brothers. So we learn this from the beginning of the surah and the end of the surah. In the beginning of surah Yusuf, when Yusuf alayhi salam came to his father Ya'qub, and he told him that I saw in my dream the sun and the moon and 11 planets making sujood to me. So Ya'qub alayhi salam told his son Yusuf, he said, Ya bunayya, la taqsus ru'yaka ala ikhwatika, fayakidu laka kayda. Inna shaytana lil insani aduun mubin. So he told him, Oh my son, do not relate your vision to your brothers, or they will conspire against you. Against you a plan. He said, Indeed, Satan, Shaytan, is a clear enemy, is a manifest enemy to men, to the son of Adam. So here he's trying actually saying in a different way that the kids are good. They're believers. But Shaytan is the one who might induce them to do something bad. He's the one who might invite them. And like in Surah, in the story of Adam alayhi salam, and this is a great lesson, ya ikhwan, great conclusion that we can conclude from the Quran. There are stories of prophets and messengers. When it came to Adam alayhi salam, I told you about this, his behavior. After Adam alayhi salam failed in his test with his wife Hawa, and they ate from the tree. When they made their statement of Tawbah in Surah Al-A'raf, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. This is the lesson that Muslims need to understand these days. ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. So they did not blame Shaitan, because they are talking about themselves. They are talking about their action. They are the ones who listened to Shaitan. He just invited them to eat from the tree. But when it came to talking about other people, or family members, or friend, so you try to give them the benefit of doubt. People are good, but Shaitan is the one who might invite them actually to commit this sin and disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to hurt their own brothers and sisters. So this is the statement of Ya'qub alayhi salam. And then Yusuf alayhi salam made the same statement. So this is the behavior of prophets and messengers. Here we come up with this conclusion. This is what Ya'qub said. This is what Yusuf said at the end. Yusuf at the end, after, you know what happened to Yusuf? It was a caravan that passed by. He took him with them. He sold him in Egypt to someone who was wealthy, and he could be one of the ministers, Al-Aziz, Aziz al-Misr. And then his wife, you know, fell in love with Yusuf. He was handsome, and she invited him to commit a sin, to do the illegal act. And he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect him against this. That's another test for Yusuf alayhi salam. And he preferred jail, to go to jail instead of committing sin and doing the illegal act with that lady, or the other ladies too, because we got some other ladies involved in the story, and they were impressed with his beauty alayhi salam. He was handsome alayhi salam. So, and he went to jail, and he was innocent. He did not commit any sin. It was not his mistake. But he stayed there for a long period of time. But he was in the cell with two other people who saw the two dreams. One of them, he saw himself that he will be at the end, he will be killed, and the other one will be working for the king. And then the king saw another dream. So there were three dreams in this story. The story of Yusuf alayhi salam, the dream of Yusuf, and the two dreams of the companions of Yusuf in jail, and the dream of the king. And it shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala maybe was helping people, because they were ancient Muslims at that time. This is how we should look at the children of Banu Israel. These are ancient. They were followers of prophets and messengers, but they made mistakes, and some of them made kufr or disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of them worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and maintained tawheed and monotheism. So they were ancient Muslims, and that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us about their stories. One brother one time, he told me, why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honoring the children of Israel and talking to them about them all the time in the Quran, telling us about that he favored them over the rest of the world, and he gave them this and this, and he sent many prophets and messengers among them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about their stories because they were prophets and messengers, and they were following prophets and messengers, so they were ancient Muslims. So these are the umam, the nations that came, that preceded us, and we need to look at their stories and learn from them. This is the only thing, yani. There is no, if they disbelieve in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, on the day of judgment, they will be treated like the rest of the disbelievers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not favor people because of their family lineage. Yani among the children of Ibrahim alayhi salam, who is a great personality, great prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said there will be some believers who will follow the path of Ibrahim alayhi salam. There are people who will wrong themselves, will not follow the path of Tawheed, will not follow the religion of Tawheed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will treat them on the day of judgment like the rest of the disbelievers. There is no favoritism here. The only connection between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taqwa, is fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and tawheed, and obedience, being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyway, Yusuf alayhi salam here, at the end of the story, this is ayah 100 in Surah Yusuf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, وَرَفَعَ أَبَوَيْهِ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ, and he raised his parents upon the throne. وَخَرُّوا لَهُ سُجَّدًا. So Yusuf alayhi salam, after he explained the dream of the king, he became like the chief minister to the king. And you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested them with 7 years of famine. Before that, 7 years of prosperity. And Yusuf alayhi salam, he said, you have to eat some of the food, but you have to save some of it for the next 7 years. They will be tough, in a very difficult 7 years. So the king was very impressed with his wisdom, with his knowledge. And he appointed him as a minister. So he became like a king. And there is a beautiful story about Yaqub alayhi salam when he heard about the position of his son. We will know about it. I'll leave it till the end, inshallah. But here, in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَخَرُّوا لَهُ سُجَّدًا. And he bowed to him in prostration. So they made sujood to Yusuf, not to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it was permissible in their religion to greet honorable people with sujood. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the malaika, the angels. And Iblis was one of them there. He was not an angel, but he was sitting there. It happened that Iblis was there. He commanded them to bow down to Adam alayhi salam. It was permissible in their religion at that time. So here, this is how they greet they used to greet honorable people or people in position of leadership at that time. وَخَرُّوا لَهُ سُجَّدًا. This is what the Quran is saying. وَقَالَ. So he raised his parents, because they are parents now. Their parents, he raised them on the throne. He allowed them to sit on his throne, Yusuf alayhi salam. وَقَالَ يَا أَبَتِي هَذَا تَأْوِيلُ رُؤْيَايَ مِنْ قَبْلُ قَدْ جَعَلَهَا رَبِّي حَقَّ. He said, oh my father, this is the explanation of my dream, of my vision of before. My Lord has made it reality. And he was certainly good to me when he took me out of the prison. And he brought you from the Bedouin life. The Bedouin life, they used to be Bedouin in the area of Sham. So Banu Israel now moved, all of them with Ya'qub alayhi salam, all the children of Israel moved with their father Ya'qub to Egypt. This is how we ended up having the children of Israel living at the time of Pharaoh and Musa alayhi salam. Because Musa alayhi salam, Moses, is one of the descendants of Ya'qub through his son Lawi. One of his sons, his name is Lawi, Levi. So the grandfather of Musa alayhi salam is Ya'qub. How many generations between Musa and Ya'qub? Only 3 or 4 generations. That's it. So Musa actually, before he became a prophet, he was a mu'min. He believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Banu Israel in Egypt used to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Fir'aun was a kafir. And his people were kuffar. They didn't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it was a multicultural society in Egypt at that time. So how did they move to Egypt? After Yusuf alayhi salam went there, so all of them moved with their father Ya'qub. All of them moved to Egypt. They were a small number. But they said, the ulama, some ulama, I'm not sure about this number. They said when they left Egypt at the end, they were around 500,000, Banu Israel. When they left Egypt, after Pharaoh tried to cut them and kill them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused him to suffocate in the water, Fir'aun and his army. Anyway, so Ya'qub, Yusuf alayhi salam is saying here, what did he say? And brought you from here, from Bedouin life, after Satan. He said, after Shaitan has induced enmity between me and my brothers. So he's talking about what Shaitan did. He's not talking about his brothers. Because he, before, he forgave them. He said, I forgive you and let's forget about everything. لا تثريب عليكم. And he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive his brothers. But he, when talking about the story, he's putting the blame, because he's dealing with his brothers, family members, or friends, someone else, putting the blame on Shaitan. But Adam alayhi salam and Hawa, they put the blame on themselves, because they wanted to assume responsibility for what happened. But Yusuf, he is not talking about himself, he's talking about the actions of other family members. So he's not putting the blame on them, he's putting the blame on Shaitan. And this is a great lesson for all of us, Ikhwan. We try to give the benefit of doubt to our family members and brothers and friends when we deal with them. So before that, this is something that amazed me, the reaction of Ya'qub. I would like to tell you about it. Now Ya'qub alayhi salam is in Egypt and everything. But before he moved to Egypt, when he received the good news that Yusuf is alive, and the Bashir, the one who brought glad news to him, and he brought the shirt of Yusuf. And I don't know, it was a miracle or there's some secret in it, because Yusuf alayhi salam, he said, throw it on the face of my father, and my father, the sight of my father will be restored, because he lost his sight. He became a blind after showing his grief and crying over the loss of Yusuf alayhi salam and his brother at the end, Binyamin. So, and Yusuf alayhi salam, he said, throw my shirt on his face and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will restore his sight. He will be able to see. And this is what happened. But when these men came to him and told him about the news that Yusuf alayhi salam, the reaction of Ya'qub alayhi salam was amazing. Something that shocked me. These people are amazing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected them, made them prophets because they were amazing people. What happened is, Ya'qub alayhi salam told the man who brought the news to him, he said, كيف تركت يوسف? How did you leave Yusuf? كيف تركت يوسف? قال هو ملك على أهل مصر. قال he is the king in Egypt. Of course he was not the king, but he was the chief minister. So, and the king gave him the freedom to deal with the economy, and he gave him full authority to deal with all the affairs of the country. So he was like a king, right? So the person say, هو ملك على أهل مصر. You know what was the reaction of Yaqub عليه السلام? قال وماذا أفعل بالملك على أي دين تركته. He told him, what do you want me to do with kingdom? Imagine someone losing his child, his beloved child, for 20 years, at least 20 years. Some ulama, they said 18. Some of them, they said 40. But it is a long period of time. Losing his child for a long period of time. And then when the guy came to him and said, he is a king. He is the king of the land. He said, what do you want me to do with kingdom? عَلَى أَيَّ دِينٍ تَرَكْتَهُ. Upon which religion you left him behind. What is his religion? Tell me. What is he worshipping? And he said, the man said, عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ. He's Muslim. He said, الْآنَ تَمَّتِ النِّعْمَةِ. He said, now the bounty has been completed. Because he got the news now, he's alive. This is a big bounty. But the bounty will not be completed unless he knew about the religion of his son. Is he following the religion of Islam? Religion the Islam of his the religion of his forefathers, Ibrahim alayhi salam, and Ishaq and Yaqub, or he's following another religion? So when he told him he's Muslim and he's following the religion of Islam, even though the king was not Muslim. And that's why some ulama, they said, it is okay to take a position in a non-Muslim country if you think that you will be helping the people and you will be doing some good and you'll be making some islah. It is okay. And they used this qissa, this story, as a dalil. So nas'al Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an yuwaffiqana li kulli khayr. Jazakum Allah khayr. It's a beautiful story. I didn't mean to tell you about the story, the whole story of Yusuf, because it's, you'll find it in Surah Yusuf, and there are many people who explain this story. But I wanted to bring to your attention these two, beautiful lessons. The meaning of beautiful patience and the meaning of patience in our life, the real patience, and the difference between real and fake patience, and also the way we should deal with our family members and, treat them, or giving them the benefit of doubt when they misbehave, when they hurt us. So we need to be patient and also give them the benefit of doubt and learn from these great personalities in the Quran. And these are beautiful stories, and they are preserved there in the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of us. And alhamdulillah, we have easy access these days to the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, books of tafsir. Ramadan is coming, ya ikhwan, and it is a good opportunity for all of us to strengthen our relationship with the Quran, whether we need to recite it or memorize or study some tafsir, some stories. You can select some stories and spend some time with the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because these are the best stories. These are the best stories. And alhamdulillah, our ulama have helped, they have explained these stories. And as I said, the Book of Tafsir, Ibn Kathir, is translated in English, alhamdulillah. جزاكم الله خيرا بارك الله فيكم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت نستغفرك ونتوب اليك